Hi again, everybody. I'm Dan Hoard, and thanks for downloading the Bengals Booth Podcast, the I Think a Change Would Do You Good edition, as we visit with a player and a coach who are changing teams this year. The player is offensive lineman Xavier Suafilo, who joins the Bengals after 4 years in Houston and 2 years in Dallas. The coach is Al Golden, the former head coach of the Temple Owls and Miami Hurricanes, who is now in charge of the Bengals linebackers. And speaking of change, nearly everybody in that group is new to the Bengals this year. Those conversations are coming up. The Bengals Booth Podcast is presented by Prime Sport, the official fan travel and hospitality partner of the Cincinnati Bengals. And here's a quick reminder that you can have the latest edition of this podcast delivered right to your phone, tablet, or computer by subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, or Podbean. It's the greatest thing since finding the right golf ball. I have no idea if my favorite golf ball fits my swing speed or is technically the one I should be using. All I know is that when I use the Callaway Chrome Soft brand, I feel more confident. And that's the key, right? Maybe it's because they're expensive and I'm a sucker for marketing, who knows? But the Callaway Chrome Soft is my current favorite. If you would like to try one, just get a tee time after me and search the woods to the right on any hole that requires a driver. Now, let's get to football. My first conversation this week is with one of eight unrestricted free agents who signed with the Bengals in the offseason. Offensive lineman Xavier Suafilo, who reportedly got a 3-year, $9 million deal. Xavier was a 2-time All-American at UCLA before being selected with the first pick of the second round in the 2014 NFL draft by Houston. After coming off the bench as a rookie, Xavier started for 3 seasons at left guard for the Texans before joining the Cowboys as a free agent. He began each of the last 2 years in Dallas as a backup before moving into the starting lineup due to injuries. Now the 6'4", 312-pound lineman is a Bengal and is expected to replace John Miller as Cincinnati's starting right guard. I spoke to Suafilo this week from his home in Arizona. Xavier, describe the free agent process this time around and how things came together with the Bengals.
It was a pretty quick process, you know, got done and really that first day, and it was an awesome relief. I was really grateful for it, but once your contract is up with a team and you're not quite sure what happens when you hit the market, you know, anything can happen. I've done it twice, and so, you know, I was just very, very excited that, you know, the Bengals called, and can't wait to get out there.
After you signed, I asked Zach Taylor if he expected you to be the starting right guard, and he didn't hesitate in saying yes. How do you approach the season knowing that the job is there for the taking?
Well, that's just it, is, you know, the kind of faith that your coach has in you, that's awesome, but, you know, coming out there, you know, that you said it, it's there for the taking. You have to take it, you know. Everything's earned that way, and I know that it's not going to be easy, you know, ever coming in to a new place with a new system, with other players to compete, you know, and so that's what I'm planning to do, and I'm very, very excited.
We're visiting with Xavier Suafilo. You're 29 years old, so you're not exactly old. But it's a very young offensive line. Trey Hopkins is 27. Everybody else is 25 or younger. Will you look to lead this group?
Yeah, I hope to lead by example and see how it goes. Like I said, I'm coming in new, and, you know, there's a lot of guys. You know, you mentioned Trey. You know, Trey's a good player, and he's a center. You know, and, you know, being the starter and running that room, you know, I'm sure he'll continue to do what he's good at. You know, and so for me, I just like to come in and, you know, learn, earn everybody's respect, and then compete and win games.
Xavier, you suffered a broken fibula in the next to last game of the year. Broken bones heal, obviously, but were you worried about the timing in the final year of your contract?
You know, I wasn't too worried about it. I was just worried about the recovery. You know, I'd never broken a bone before, knocked on wood, and so you know, I had faith, and I just thought the timing was, it just kind of sucked, you know, going into off season. You know, it's nothing that somebody wants, but it also is part of our game, and injuries happen, and firm believer in, you know, basically it's kind of how you manage those, and mentally and physically, you know, kind of determine on exactly how quickly your rehab goes and how, I guess, tolerable it is.
You have primarily played on the left side in college and in the NFL. The anticipation is the right side in Cincinnati. Have you practiced much on the right side, and how big of a challenge is that as a guard?
As a guard, switching sides isn't always easy, but, you know, fortunately for me, I've had to rep at both sides, and even though, like you mentioned, I primarily played on the left side in college and the NFL, in games, I've done a lot of reps and taken a lot of work on the right side, especially in practice, in some preseason and stuff, and so, you know, getting comfortable there in a game, you know, is something that's going to have to be by experience, but I definitely feel good there, and getting in a right-handed stance and doing things on the right side is not foreign to me.
The Bengals were very successful in the second half of the season last year with a pin-and-pull rushing attack. It really paved the way for Joe Mixon to have a big second half. Does that fit your strengths?
Hey, I'm an offensive lineman. I love running the ball. We always do. And we know that, you know, a lot of stress gets taken off the quarterback and the rest of the offense, you know, if you're able to run the ball successfully. And so starting with the big guys up front, part of protection is being able to run the ball, and having a big, strong back like Mixon, you know, it definitely helps. I've been fortunate to block for some good backs in my career. So, you know, to me, that's very important, and I love running the ball, too.
We're spending a few minutes with Xavier Suofilo. The Bengals were among the most active teams in the NFL in free agency, including signing your former Houston teammate, DJ Reader. What are the Bengals getting in him?
Man, a great player and a great person. You know, I remember when he came in and just kind of how he was, you know, real easygoing, laid-back person off the field. But on the field, very, very, very competitive, and I'm excited to have him as a teammate again.
In this year's draft, Xavier, six of the Bengals' seven draft picks were captains in college. And when I look at your background, I see Eagle Scout, team captain at UCLA, somebody who served others in a two-year Mormon mission. It seems like that stuff's very important to you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's being service-oriented is definitely who I was raised to be by my folks, and I'm grateful to them for it. Growing up, getting your Eagle Scout was kind of a rule in my family, especially for the young men, and so it started off as something I had to do, ended up finishing it as something that I was excited to do, so it means a lot.
How have you been training during this pandemic?
You know, I have some stuff at home, but I also go to you know, I live in Phoenix, in the Phoenix area, and there's been a couple gyms and a couple rehab facilities that have been deemed essential and have been privately owned and are opened. And, you know, through proper social distancing and cleansing and all that kind of stuff, I've been able to keep working out and keep lifting weights and keep rehabbing. And so I've been fortunate in that sense to not have to, you know, miss any time due to the pandemic.
How challenging has it been to try to learn the offense and get to know your teammates from afar?
That is the challenge right there. You know, learning the offense, I've been fortunate, you know, that it's, you know, coming pretty easy. You know, playing, going on 7 years, you know, a lot of the football stuff, the X's and O's, is very similar. It's just identified differently, or they use different words or different terms. And so a lot of that is memorization. But getting to know my teammates, you know, that's something I feel like is a little harder virtually, obviously, but I don't think I'll have a problem, you know, fitting right in. Just being able to talk ball, talk football, see how things hit people's heads differently, you know, their form, their way of thinking, communication, it's been cool. And, you know, I knew Billy Price before I got signed by Cincinnati. I went to school with Alex Redmond. You know, obviously I know DJ, and so there's some familiarity that way, especially in the offensive line room. You know, there's always room, you know, to get to know him better, and we will once we get this thing rolling.
How did you get to know Billy Price?
You know, Billy, I met Billy when he was training for the Combine out here in Phoenix as well. And I've always kind of, you know, kept in touch with him, you know, and he was one of the first people to text me congratulations, you know, when I got drafted or when I got signed with the Bengals. And so seeing him in the meetings, you know, every day too is always helped.
A few more questions for Xavier Suofilo. What are your impressions of Joe Burrow, whether it was from watching him on TV or any contact you might have had since?
Man, you know, I haven't met him yet, obviously in person or virtually. You know, he's been in our team meetings, but, man, I'm just excited to have him. You know, he's the truth. He, you know, as someone, you know, some people could say he's had as an exciting college career as anyone could have, and a memorable one, too. You know, I'm just excited for him to, you know, come in and be in the NFL and have that same type of success, and I only wish the best for him, you know, especially now that I have the opportunity to block for him.
Xavier, your father is of Samoan descent, and I understand that's led to a connection to former Bengals Ray Malaluga and Domata Peko. Is that correct?
Right. So, you know, I'm not sure if it's, you know, what it is, but, you know, in the NFL, there's quite a bit of Samoans, quite a bit of Tongans, you know, and everyone just kind of gravitates towards each other. You know, it's almost pretty common to seek out the, you know, if there's any Polynesians on the other team after the game. But I played against Domata when he was in Cincinnati, and he's always been cool to me, and I know he's a lot older than me, but when I was a young player, especially him being a veteran, you know, he was just always real good to me, you know, whenever we played against them, and, you know, just asking me things after the game, you know, just about, you know, my family, who they are and how they're doing, and, you know, just taking an interest that way. And so I know he played there for a long time, and so I've always, you know, thought that was neat. And Ray, I watched Ray at, you know, when he was at USC, like we all did, and you know, he was one of, like, he had a heck of a career over there, and him being someone, like, you know, in USC being as popular as they were at that time, you know, it was really neat to, you know, get to see him. And likewise, I played against Ray, you know, in the NFL while he was with Cincinnati, too. And so, he reached out to me as well when I signed with the Bengals and told me when I got out there, you know, to give him a call and maybe grab some lunch, and he can, you know, just kind of, you know, teach me a little bit about there and, you know, maybe the Kentucky side or the Cincinnati side. And so just very neat and very cool to, you know, to have met those guys. And they both happened to, you know, be with the Bengals for a significant amount of time.
Final question for newcomer Xavier Suafilo. Tell us a little bit about your family and how you've been coping with COVID-19 restrictions.
I've been married 5 years to my wife, Heather. We met when we were in Utah. She played volleyball at BYU. We have two kids. We have a 4-year-old son named Lennox, and I have a 2-year-old daughter named Taven. Taven's birthday is next month. My son's birthday is the month after. And sometime in between there, my wife's expected to give birth to to another boy. So we're just getting ready for that. And during this pandemic, it's been really cool, you know, to spend, even though I've been able to work out, it's been really cool to spend a lot of time with my wife and kids. You know, as you know, during the season, it can get hard, especially with work and even with OTAs, and so having a virtual off season, you know, has been, obviously it's different not being in there as a team, but it's been nice, you know, spending as much time with my wife and kids as I have, and I'm sure they'd say the same, you know, even though some days I'm not sure about if my wife wants me to go to work or something, but it's just been really neat. And living in Phoenix out here, you know, we've been safe and really, really blessed, actually. You know, I know it's a lot of folks are having a hard time, you know, out there. And so it's an interesting time in our country. And we're just fortunate.
I think that extra family time has been the silver lining for many of us. And we certainly wish you the best with the baby boy on the way. That's very exciting. And we're excited to have you with the Bengals organization. So thank you for the time. And I look forward to meeting you face to face.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Dan. Thanks for having me, man. I'm really excited.
Xavier has appeared in 78 career games, including 3 playoff starts for Houston. Before we get to the next guest, here's a quick reminder that you can take your Bengals pride to the next level in 2020 with an official Bengals fan package from Prime Sport. One of the most obvious areas where the Bengals must show improvement this year is the play of their linebackers. Nick Vigil and Preston Brown, who started the first 8 games last year, are both gone, and so is linebackers coach Tem Lukebu, who left to become the defensive coordinator at Boston College. The Bengals' new linebackers coach is 50-year-old Al Golden, who spent 10 years as a college head coach at Temple and the University of Miami before spending the last four seasons as an assistant coach with the Detroit Lions. Al, I know the wide receivers coach Bob Bicknell was on your staff at Temple. Was that connection significant in leading to your opportunity with the Bengals?
Well, it certainly was, but there were others as well. Coach Callahan and I were together in Detroit. Jimmy Turner, I used to work with him at the Boston College football camp when I was up at Boston College. So really, I crossed paths with a lot of these guys in the past or had mutual friends, but certainly Bob was instrumental in this whole process.
You're new to the Bengals, and so are the guys in the linebackers room. Of the nine guys you have, Jermaine Pratt and Jordan Evans were basically the only two that played for Cincinnati last year. How big of a challenge is that for you?
Well, I don't know if it's any different challenge-wise. I think, the defense starts over every year, and, from that standpoint, we're just trying to implement and install based on what Cincinnati did last year, where Lou sees, the defense going this year. And then, our job is to kind of fill in that chasm, really, between what our goals are and execution. So we're spending all of our time, basically trying to iron out the details and find some corrections. And the veterans, certainly the veterans in my room have been really, really instrumental in moving it forward.
Let's discuss the personnel, beginning with free agent signee Josh Bynes. He's a nine-year vet. He's got a Super Bowl ring. He's got a national championship ring from his time with Auburn. How important was it to add a seasoned veteran like Josh Bynes?
Experienced, proven winner, leader, very bright. A vocal leader at the line of scrimmage. So I think from that standpoint, he brings a lot to the room. And I wasn't here last year to contrast it, but certainly I can tell you just moving forward that he's been pivotal in the standard that he's setting and what he demands of the younger guys and the example that he set. So it's been great having him. It really has been.
So that even shows in Zoom meetings.
Oh, there's no doubt. In terms of the Zoom meeting, sometimes guys can play their way, out of a mistake on the field through instincts or where the ball hits. But when you're running the Zoom meetings or you're asking them questions, there's really nowhere to go. And I think what Josh does better than most is he's confident in his answers and he's not afraid to ask why. So he makes you a better coach. He makes his peers better. He makes our defense better. He's come up with some good ideas as well, and we're not afraid to implement them as we move forward.
We're chatting with linebackers coach Al Golden. Jermaine Pratt wound up playing 41% of the snaps last year as a rookie and started the final eight games of the year. What stands out about Jermaine when you watch him on tape?
The one thing is, he plays big. He's a big man. He can play inside or outside. He's got good long speed. And I think from that standpoint, he's got versatility. So I think the one thing that is jumping off, right now in terms of the off-season program is, he's just much more confident in his answers according to everybody that's been with him, So I think the year things are slowing down a little bit for him, which should translate to faster play on the field. So we're excited about Jermaine, and he's had a good off-season. We just got to continue to maintain that.
He struck me as a guy last year during his rookie season that was all ball. I mean, loved football, wanted to get better. Do you sense the same?
I do. I'm excited. I'm excited to work with him. And he was a young man I had a chance to interview, the previous year coming out. And, now I have a chance to really, sit down with him and work with him. And I'm looking to, get with him face-to-face here in the near future.
Al, three of the seven draft picks were linebackers, beginning with third-rounder Logan Wilson out of Wyoming, a three-time captain there. What are you getting in Logan Wilson?
I think Logan has the ability to play four downs. And really, when you look at the pool of talent coming out of college anymore, it's hard to find guys that are 240-plus. So he's a 240-pound throwback linebacker on early downs, but man, he played so much coverage at Wyoming and covered the field really well. So He gives us versatility there, not only inside but outside, in his coverage responsibilities. And then, obviously, we think he's a candidate to help us on special teams. So, really a bright kid. He's working hard at it. He's learning well, and we're excited to work with him moving forward.
The game has obviously changed. How critical is coverage ability for a linebacker in the current NFL?
Well, I think it's really hard because, you know, we used to say guys that couldn't cover were two down players, but the reality is those guys now are one or one and a half down players because second and long, you know, there's so much pass in our league now. So I think that kind of transitions into why we felt so confident about Akeem Davis-Gaither and Marcus, you know, Bailey and taking them when we did. So both of these young men are also four down candidates. They're guys that can play on early downs. They can play in the sub. You know, certainly they could be out there in 2 minute situations. You love to match up with them on a tight end or a running back. And I think Darren Simmons and Colt are going to love them in the special teams room. So again, we're excited about that entire group. And then Marcel Spears, an undrafted free agent, another kid that can play all the downs, and we're excited about him as well. So, again, it's a good group to work with. They're working hard. They come prepared every day. And I think the tone that has been set by the older guys, you know, Austin Calatro and Josh and Jordan Evans, I think those guys have done a great job.
Following up on Akeem Davis-Gaither, your fourth-round pick out of App State, he's 224 pounds, so he is a little bit undersized. How did he convince you that he's big enough to be effective in the NFL?
Well, he's a striker, you know, so he's explosive and can strike. I think you got to find, you know, ways to use him on early downs. As I mentioned earlier, he'll be someone that should stand out in space on the sub package. And, again, I just think he's tough. He can see it. You know, he hasn't played inside a bunch. He was kind of a nickel alley player at App State. But when we had him in the Senior Bowl, number one, he was a leader. Number two, he was smart. And three, he really started to see and fit the run as the week evolved. And I thought that was a great sign for him.
We're visiting with linebackers coach Al Golden. Marcus Bailey, the seventh-round pick out of Purdue. In your mind, would he likely have been a second or third rounder if he didn't tear his ACL last September?
Yeah, again, I won't get into that speculation about where he would have went. All I know is we had him significantly higher than where we took him. So when we saw him there, we saw a great value, and he has not disappointed. He's a bright young man, very confident. He prepares and learns well. So we're excited about him, but we worked hard on him. You know, we really did. We researched a lot of background on him. We studied his junior year. We studied, you know, his senior year, the couple of games that he played. We waited for pro day drills, if you will, to start coming in prior to the draft. They came in probably about a week prior to the draft. In addition to that, we got every man coverage shot that we could in his career. Just to evaluate his man coverage ability or his ability to cover in space. And I think the confluence of all those things just led us down the road of, you know, this is a guy that we want to have on our team and work with. So we're excited about Marcus.
You managed to get in a one-on-one workout with Marcel Spears, the undrafted free agent out of Iowa State, before the coronavirus restrictions kicked in. How pivotal was that in evaluating his potential?
It was pivotal. For whatever reason, I went right from the combine and did a kind of a mid-Atlantic swing that first week. And then that second week, I did kind of a Midwest swing, if you will. And I wanted to see him in Ames. We couldn't pull it off. And then I asked him if I could see him at his high school and work him out. And there was a lot of logistics there that we had to work through, and I had to change my flight. I was coming from Madison, I believe. The day before, I was in Wyoming. So everything worked out, but certainly as I was flying that last 48 hours, I had a feeling there was an end game coming up, you know. So I was really excited to get 10 in-person evaluations done in that first 2 weeks following the you know, the combine and Futrell, Kendall Futrell was one of those as well. So, you know, I think it paid great dividends for us because Logan was on that group. Futrell was on that group. Spears was in that group. And obviously we had Akeem down at the Senior Bowl. So we had experience with all those guys.
Your schedule, Al, has been crazy since these coronavirus restrictions hit. You had just joined the organization. You were at the Senior Bowl, the scouting combine, and then shortly after that, everybody's forced to shelter in place. How have you dealt with getting a new job under these circumstances?
I'm very fortunate. You know, Zach was great. Prior to the combine, Zach, you know, made time for us to evaluate everybody. So really, it was the first time that I've gone to the combine having evaluated every linebacker that was there. So there really were no surprises. I had specific targets in mind. I had guys that I needed to spend a lot of time with. I think from that standpoint, that was invaluable. And then went on the road right after the combine for 2 weeks. And then when it stopped, we transitioned into football and preparation for the draft. But the draft was already done. So I was able to move. In our minds, the draft, the linebacker board was basically set. So I was able to start to transition into the football side of it, which has been great. And then we've just been juggling ever since. You know, I think everybody, you know, feels comfortable with how we're doing it in terms of Zoom and different meetings. And we've had a really good schedule, intense, you know, more intense with the rookies. You know, we're really challenging the vets. And then whatever time is left over, we're either meeting as a staff or breaking down, you know, combinations of the staff or just working on our own. So we've gotten a lot of work done. We're going to need every bit of this next month to you know, to finish everything. But I think we'll be in a good place, you know, 4 weeks from now.
Final question for Al Golden. You played on some great teams at Penn State, and you are a captain under the legendary Joe Paterno. What are some of the biggest lessons that you learned from Coach Paterno that you use in your coaching career?
Joe was the ultimate in empowerment. You know, he wanted to build, you know, young men that would not only be successful, you know, in the classroom, but also, you know, in the community and on the field of competition. And I think the way you kind of classify that is that he was the ultimate empowerer. So I think from that standpoint, I've learned how to empower young people and teach them how to adapt or how to figure things out and, you know, not make excuses and not worry about things they can't change. And I think from that standpoint, that was always a great lesson. And he used to always say to us, you know, run scared. And what run scared meant was that you prepared right up until the last moment. And then once the ball's kicked off, you'll feel great about where you are. And from that standpoint, basically what we're doing right now is we're running scared. You know, we're acting like we don't know when this thing is going to change, and we're just working like crazy every day because we don't know, you know, what the future holds. But we're not going to waste this time that we have. And I think I'm blessed to have this group of linebackers to work with every day. It's been so much fun.
It's a great way to wrap it up. Al, I appreciate the time, and I look forward to meeting you in person.
All right, same here. Hopefully sooner rather than later, okay? We'll talk soon.
My thanks to Xavier Suofilo and Al Golden, and that's going to do it for this episode of the Bengals Booth Podcast, brought to you by Prime Sport, the official fan travel and hospitality partner of the Cincinnati Bengals. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe. And if you have a minute, give it a rating or share a comment. That helps more Bengals fans find this podcast. I'm Dan Hoard, and thank you for listening to the Bengals Booth Podcast.